Welcome back to the show, Chef. Every episode, you hear me say at the very end, don't forget to lead with the heart. But what does that actually mean? Does leading with the heart make you a soft leader? Does it mean you put emotions over business? Or is it the key to creating a stronger, more resilient, and more successful kitchen culture? Today, we're breaking it down. We'll get into what heart-centered leadership really is, why it matters, and how you can apply it in your kitchen right after this message. Welcome to Chef Life Radio, the podcast dedicated to helping chefs and culinary leaders take control of their kitchens, build resilient teams, and create a thriving career in hospitality. I'm Chef Adam Lamb, your host, leadership coach, and industry veteran. If you're tired of high turnover, burnout, and the daily grind, you're not alone. This podcast is here to give you the real strategies, insights, and tools you need to lead with confidence, build a culture of excellence, and craft a kitchen that works for you, not against you. Because the best kitchens don't just survive, they thrive. Hit that subscribe button and let's get started. Welcome back to the show. Leading with the heart means prioritizing connection, empathy, and vision over simply enforcing rules and hitting performance metrics, those goddamn KPIs. A heart-centered leader doesn't just manage tasks. They build trust, inspire, and create an environment where people want to excel. When leaders focus solely on efficiency and discipline without considering the human element, they create a transactional work environment rather than a transformational one. Leadership as a relationship. A kitchen isn't just about food, it's about the people making it. Strong leadership recognizes the human element behind every dish, fostering respect and camaraderie. When chefs feel like they're more than just workers, they invest more in their work and their team. Emotional intelligence and leadership. Recognizing and managing your own emotions while also understanding the emotions of your team is a critical skill for heart-centered leadership. The ability to navigate high-pressure situations while remaining composed creates stability for your team. The difference between compassion and weakness. Many believe that leading with the heart means being soft. In reality, it's about setting high standards while providing the support needed to meet them. Compassionate leaders hold people accountable while also giving them the tools, feedback, and encouragement necessary for improvement. It doesn't mean being a doormat. There's a difference between being soft and being kind. Here's a reflection. Do you lead with inspiration and understanding, or just with the rules and expectations? So there I was, on the beach in Bradenton, Florida. I'd gotten out of the industry. I thought my life was going in a completely different direction. And as soon as I got settled into this beautiful home in a gated community with my steady partner, I got a call. And it was from somebody who I hadn't heard from in years. This was a chef that I had known for all my life. And he says to me, "Hey, listen, I just took over this huge property in Virginia, and it's 9 kitchens and 15 outlets. It does $21 million a year, and it's just too big for me to handle. Would you come and be my sous chef?" And I thought to myself, shit, I ain't been a sous chef in 25 years. What am I going to do with that? I was totally confused. I hung up. I turned to my girlfriend and I say, "I thought that I was supposed to go this way. Now it's pulling me back that way." Kind of like being in the mafia, right? Kind of pull you back in. And I said to her, "Now what the hell am I going to do?" And she very quietly waited and then said to me, "Adam, you'll never know if it's right unless you go on the adventure. It's always a yes until it's a no." Like, what? What do you mean? She says, "Go down the rabbit hole. And if there's something that's going to say no, you'll find it. The journey is not in your head. It's in the steps that you take." Funny enough, in 7 days, I was processed on property in uniform, walking into my first meeting. And that's when I knew that that's probably where I should be. But even then, I spent about 4 or 5 months kicking and screaming about why the hell am I there? My girlfriend is in Florida. I'm in Virginia. I can't even see her. What the hell is going on? Like raging at the skies. Frankly, being a complete victim of my circumstance. And one night on the phone, Jennifer said to me, listen, why don't you just be where you're at and have what you have? And I didn't understand what she meant then. But over the next couple of days, as I was going through work, I started to understand, like, what would it feel like to actually be present instead of trying to figure out where I was supposed to be or why this particular position wasn't the right one for me. Now, this is the first time in 25 years that I hadn't been the executive chef. I didn't have that weight upon my shoulders or heavy hangs the crown. As a matter of fact, my friend would go around as the executive chef and he would bark his orders and he would demean people or he would do whatever he was doing. And then it was up to me to kind of come around and pick up the pieces and smooth all the feathers and make sure that everybody understood that this is just his way of doing it. But in a very real sense, I understood clearly the difference between leading with personality and leading by standards. Not to say that what he was doing was wrong, because it wasn't. What I was doing wasn't necessarily right or wrong either, but the blending of the two created an opportunity for the associates in that property to actually be mentored and coached in such a way that they found themselves thinking about themselves beyond that present moment, like what they possibly become, because we were going to provide the tools, information, and time in order for them to create their excellence. I laughingly would admit that my job was as simple as having 1,000 conversations a day. But it's weird when you provide an opportunity to start a conversation and actually spend more time listening than talking. That's what I mean about leading from the heart. Why leading from the heart is the key to long-term success. Kitchens led with heart have higher retention, lower burnout, and stronger team dynamics because people feel valued, heard, and invested in their work. When employees feel like they are merely a cog in the machine, they disengage, leading to higher turnover and lower overall team morale. Leadership that prioritizes human connection leads to long-term success, fostering an environment where people take pride in their contributions. Fear versus inspiration. Leaders who rule with fear get short-term compliance, but leaders who lead with heart gain long-term loyalty. Employees will follow orders when afraid, but they will go above and beyond when they feel inspired and appreciated. The burnout factor. A heart-centered leader knows that supporting their team's well-being is just as important as driving performance. When people feel emotionally drained or undervalued, they disengage or leave. Kitchens with high turnover rates struggle to maintain consistency and quality. The cultural shift. Creating a culture where employees feel empowered fosters a stronger sense of ownership, meaning fewer mistakes, better teamwork, higher levels of creativity in the kitchen. And when chefs feel respected and heard, they contribute ideas, solve problems proactively, and take initiative. Leading with the heart doesn't mean ignoring accountability. It means setting high standards while also supporting people and reaching them. It's one thing to give someone a job. It's another thing entirely to support them all the way through the job's completion. I once took over one of the most successful kitchens on the Intercoastal in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I had a mandate to change the menu. And so I went through all the processes, created all the standards, created all the station maps, wrote all the recipes, and then plastered them everywhere in the kitchen on the day that we were supposed to change everything over. It's 11:45. Everybody's ready. Everybody's been prepped. We've gone over this several days and I'm calling out orders and all of a sudden everything's getting kicked into the window and I had to stop because I couldn't understand why the saute cook was preparing all the old menu items. Stopped what we were doing, went up, started talking to him. He's like, I got it, chef. It's no problem. Went back in the front, started kicking ass again. And then he continued to do the same thing. I could not understand what was going on. So I went behind the line, pulled him off the side, used my body and my presence to kind of block him in a corner and say, dude, what's going on? You're making me look bad. Didn't we talk about this? Haven't we trained this? Haven't I provided you the tools and the knowledge and the time in order to create this such that you could be successful? And the entire time I'm talking to him, he's looking down at his shoes. And when I paused, he says to me, "But chef, I can't read." And in that moment, my heart broke for many reasons, for my arrogance, for my overbearing attitude, for the fact that I didn't consider this a possibility previously and made allowances for it. And in that moment, all I could do was just say, "I'm sorry." Was it his fault that he didn't have the tools in order to succeed? Was it my fault that I didn't understand what he needed first? All that bullshit aside, that caused us to go down the rabbit hole of like what it would be like to create an ESOL program, bring it to the property, and make the same opportunity available to everybody. And that came from the heart. That didn't come from standards or procedures or any of that stuff. It caused me to go over there with him and understand what it must have been like for him to try to struggle through, bluff through until he could succeed. And I'd been there. All I knew that sucked. Having a consistent standard of performance is the only way to hold associates accountable, but that still doesn't account for the fact that some are more disadvantaged than others. Dive, or at least a concerted effort. If I couldn't meet him where he was, then I was not only failing him, but I was failing the entire team. Leading with the heart isn't just a concept. It's a set of actionable habits and behaviors that create a high-performing, motivated kitchen team. To be effective, a leader must integrate their principles into daily operations, ensuring that their actions align with their words. Active listening. Truly hearing what your team is saying and addressing their concerns builds trust and fosters a positive work culture. Leaders who listen well cultivate an atmosphere where employees feel safe voicing ideas and concerns without fear of retaliation. That means creating an opportunity, a safe space, or a container in which to voice those concerns. Encouraging ownership. Giving employees a sense of autonomy and investment in their work leads to higher engagement and better performance. Empowering team members to take responsibility and problem solve strengthens the entire kitchen, but don't set them up for failure. Give them an idea of what it looks like to succeed clearly and then follow up consistently. Balancing tough love with support. Holding people accountable while also providing the tools, mentorship, and encouragement they need to succeed. A leader should be firm, yet fair, offering guidance rather than micromanagement. One of the most pivotal moments in my career was when I was the executive chef of a hotel in Hollywood, Florida, that was taken over by a real estate investment trust. And they brought in this really hot GM to transition everything. And one night I am back in the kitchen doing my thing and I see him walk in the back halls and he comes into the kitchen. He says, "Chef, you know, you really love what you do." And I'm like, "Yes, I do, sir. Thank you very much." He's like, "Do you always want to be like chained to the stove?" I'm like, "What? Are you interested in all in learning what it's like to actually run the business instead of being in the business?" That was Dave Miles. At that time, I had a long-ass ponytail and a French braid with pencils stuck in the back of my head. I thought about that all night long, and I came back the next day, and I shaved everything off. Not because he asked, because I wanted to acknowledge what he said to me as an opportunity to go deeper into my craft. I gotta admit that it was probably the first time in my career that I was willing to shed the skin I was in to discover something else. Wasn't easy, kind of rocky, felt shitty, but I stuck with it because iteration upon iteration upon iteration is the only path to success. And looking back, even then, I understood that I was trying to be 1% better than I was yesterday. More understanding, more expansive, more willing to fail, more willing to try just a little bit farther than yesterday, just 1%. Your action steps for this episode. Number one, check in with your team, not just about work, but about their well-being. Be willing to view them as a whole and complete human being. Number two, recognize effort, not just results. That means celebrating small wins while also calling out opportunities for growth. Number three, set expectations with clarity and empathy. Challenge your team, but also give them the tools, knowledge, time to rise to that next level. A heart-led kitchen is a high-performing kitchen. When chefs feel valued, they bring their best, not just for the paycheck, but because they believe in what they're doing. If today's conversation resonated with you, take a moment to reflect on how you're leading your kitchen. Are you just giving orders, or are you inspiring action? Remember, leadership is more than management. It's about making a lasting impact on your team and your culture. Leadership isn't about being the loudest voice in the kitchen or demanding respect. It's about earning it through authenticity, guidance, and leading by example, transparency, and vulnerability. Ask yourself, how do my team members feel when they leave their shift? Are they leaving motivated and inspired? Are they drained and discouraged? The answer to that question reflects the leadership culture you are building. So the next time you step into your kitchen, ask yourself, am I leading with the heart? Until next time, stay tall and frosty, and don't forget to lead with the heart. That's a wrap for today's episode of Chef Life Radio. If this resonated with you, do me a favor, subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more culinary leaders like you who are ready to take their kitchens to the next level. Want more? Connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or join our Chef Life Radio community for exclusive insights and leadership tools. Remember, leadership isn't about perfection, it's about progress. So take what you've learned today and apply it in your kitchen, your team, and your life. Chef Life Radio is more than just a podcast, it's a movement. The focus is no longer just on career survival, but on transforming leadership, creating sustainability, and ensuring chefs can build kitchens that thrive. Remember, the secret ingredient to culinary success isn't just in the food, it's in the leadership. Keep learning, keep growing, and as always, lead with the heart. See you next time.